good afternoon. Welcome to the School for Successful Ranching. My name is Todd Richardson, and I will be moderating the meeting today. Before we get started, I would ask that you please turn off your cell phones or mute them, silence them somehow, if you don't mind. And also, please remove your hats. If you need more space, there's a table in the back provided for those hats. We'd like to take the time to thank our generous sponsors. Without them, these would be a real challenge to put on these classes. If you noticed in the hallway, please pay special attention to the booths that each of these sponsors have out there, as well as swing by the expo and make sure you look at their bigger booths and their exhibits there in the hallway. Sponsors include Capital Farm Credit, Dow Agro Sciences, Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo, Lone Star Ag Credit, Merck Animal Health, Stay Tough Fence Manufacturing, Bayer Micro, Diacero, Texas Range Minerals, Neogen GeneSeq, Rabo Agri Finance, Texas Beef Quality Assurance, and Sylvius Insurance Group. Our next presentation is using key performance indicators to manage your ranch. This is presented by Stan Beavers. Mr. Beavers owns and manages Broken Bee Cattle along with other family members. He also serves as a ranch management consultant doing business as Ranch KPI. He serves as a public speaker across the country on topics ranging from ranch analysis management to cattle marketing. Please join me in welcoming Mr. Beavers. Thank you.
Oh, I can already hear it, man. All right. Everybody hear me? Cool. All right. Good afternoon, guys and ladies. Appreciate the opportunity to visit with you. Appreciate the intro. A little more. Some of you know me as the retired extension economist out of Vernon, Texas. I've worked for extension for 27 years. Afternoon. Worked for extension 27 years, retired a year and a half ago. Now I'm a professor emeritus. They asked me if I wanted emeritus, and I said, well, I think I've been vaccinated for that, but I'm not sure. But yeah, go ahead and tell me that. So I'm a professor emeritus, whatever that means. I'm certainly proud of my time at A&M or with A&M. During that time, I went there in 1989. And for those of you that know, the Rolling Plains of Texas is home to a lot of the old large ranches. I went there with the instructions from my boss at that time to build a ranch program. And I took that to heart. So at the same time, some things were going on in the cattle industry called the National Standardized Performance Analysis Initiative, okay, or better known as SPAL. How many of you know about SPAL? Okay, good, about half of you, some of you don't. That's good. So anyway, what SPAL was a program that was going to analyze a ranch, not only from a production side, but also from a finance side. Okay, that's very briefly what SPAL is. Now, at the same time, throughout the course of 27 years, I continued to work with ranches and had the opportunity, and A&M allowed me to do a lot of consulting outside the state of Texas. So I continued that when I retired. Now I'm able to consult not only in outside of Texas, but also in Texas as well. Just this year, I mean, I work with ranches anywhere from New Mexico to Florida to Montana. And I say that as an honor to work with these ranches, okay? It's a privilege and an honor for me to see this and work with these guys because I see data that most people don't see, okay? And that's a privilege for me, and I take that to heart. Following along then, in 2015, the year before I retired, I was asked to compare some dairy numbers with some ranch numbers. And the dairies was using what was called KPIs. And I guess we all kind of knew what a KPI was, but we really didn't know. And they certainly hadn't been implemented in the cattle industry, to my knowledge. Okay. Now, I've had people come up to me after I made this presentation from like the oil industry or the business industry, whatever, and say, shoot, we've been doing KPIs forever. Well, leave it to the cattle industry to be behind about 100 years, right? No, I'm just kidding. That's supposed to be funny, guys. Come on. I'm critical of our own organization, okay? I'm sorry. That's the way it is. So in 15, I started to put together what were some KPIs that we needed to track. Again, Spall was doing some of that, but I also wanted to do a little more, okay? Spall, for those of you that know it, was just cow-calf. Very, very few ranches just do cow-calf, right? If nothing else, we may have wildlife sales, we may have gravel sales, we may have yearlings, whatever, right? Well, Spall just did cow-calf, but I wanted to see everything. How's the operation doing? So in summation, I put together a list of KPIs that I feel are very important for any operation. Some of them are 30,000-foot views of the operation. Some of them are very specific, okay? And the way that I summarize all this is there's a million people in this industry that want to help you increase productivity. I want to help you be more efficient and make more money. Okay? That's what I'm about. How do I help you make more money? Case in point, pretty large ranch that I've worked with now for a few years. Had to kind of convince the ranch manager. The owners were pretty easy to convince. Ranch manager's a little more difficult, but he finally bought on. I'm going to drop your revenue by $200,000 by you guys making this change that I think you should make. But at the same time, I'm going to drop your expenses by $500,000. How many of you would do that? That's efficiency, guys. That's efficiency. We've sat here and talked about, well, let's get the calves bigger, let's get the yearlings bigger, all these things. And at times, revenue goes really high, but along with revenue, trails expenses, right? So I'm talking about efficiency. I'm not talking about maximizing productivity, okay? Everybody with me? All right, here we go. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, so KPIs. Now, there was a handout you could have got. I'm going to kind of refer to it a little bit, but I'm always short on time. If you got a question, raise your hand. We'll try to answer as many as we can. I'd just assume you do it at that time instead of waiting till the end, okay? If we need to get into discussion, we may have to cut it off. But anyway, I'm gonna focus on four numbers or sets of numbers, okay, that I think every ranch should look at every year, okay? Now then, and all of them are KPIs, but a little background on KPIs. First off, what's a KPI? It is an activity that's going on your ranch, and we want to measure it, okay? Hence, it's a key operation. It could be as simple as hay production. How many of you have hay? I'm sorry. No, I'm just kidding. If you're producing hay, though, would not a KPI be for you every year knowing what it's costing you to produce a ton of hay? Is that a pretty important number? And it's a pretty important number over time, isn't it? Okay? Because as expenses continue to increase over time, fertilizer goes all over the place, and we all deal with the vulgarities of the commodity markets, like cattle prices, hay prices, those type things. It's very important that you look at it not only once, but track it over time, every year. Okay? So hay production cost would be one KPI. It's an important activity that you can manage. And if I'm successful in achieving goals set on the KPIs, then in fact what I am doing is fulfilling the goals of the owner. How many of you are the foreman, the general manager, and the owner? That's me, okay? But I say that because I want you to kind of keep that in mind. Okay? Because again, I'm going to ask you, who is that KPI important to? Or flip the coin and say, who is accountable to that KPI? Okay? weaning weights. Who is accountable to weaning weights? Well, everybody is, okay, on the ranch. But when it comes down to it, who's the most accountable? It could be the foreman, and there's not an answer here, okay? It could be the foreman, and yeah, it's the cow that's the, I mean, of course, you could also say the bull as well. So anyway, who's most accountable? Those three people, okay, I want you to keep in mind, and in some cases, we are that same person three times, okay? So with that said, then I also want you to keep track or keep in mind, does the goal of that KPI change over time? Hay production. If it costs me, I've got a ranch in Montana that I work with, cost them $72.50 a ton. They put up 7,000 tons of hay a year. Cost them $72.50 a year or a ton to put up hay every year. Is that good or bad? Who knows? Well, I mean, you can go out and buy it for that much, okay? Can you buy 7,000 tons of it? Okay? So it's an important activity. It can be managed. And it's critical, okay? Those things. Is management fulfilled? So again, if I do that, am I fulfilling the goals of the ownership? Now, how many owners, all of you that raised your hand, and the rest of you, how important is profit to everybody? That's an important question, okay? Because I work with ranches where profit motivation isn't necessarily the goal. Would you agree with that? There are ranches that profit maximization is not the goal. The problem is you got to compete with those people. You got to compete with those. Whether they're big people, whether they're little people, poor people, rich people, I don't care. I'll give you one example of a billionaire that I work with that has about 700 cows. Cost really doesn't matter. I mean, we track it every year, and you would find it comical in some sense how some of their costs are. But his goal is pretty ranch and highest productivity you can get. So when I saw a wean percentage calf crop on that ranch of about 78%, what was my recommendation? I don't care how much money you spend, get it to 85. Money wasn't really a big issue, right? I realize that's a really outlandish type comments, but again, what are the goals of ownership? Okay, now that doesn't count for most of us. Most of us are out here trying to break our butts making a living, aren't we? Okay, so let's talk about that. Tracked over time. A few more things. Again, production follows the SPAL stuff that we'll just kind of hit on. Financial stuff follows what's called the Farm Financial Standards Council for accrual financial statements, blah, 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 blah. One of the things that I always get pointed out is once a ranch asked me to come kind of seek them out and try to make a little, you know, adjustments for them, more times than not, if I'm just brand new to them, would you agree that most ranchers do a pretty poor job of record keeping? Well, that's not my job, that's the accountant's job, right? No, 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 no. That's back to who's accountable. You're accountable, okay? But most of us do an inadequate job in order to get good information, okay? So part of my job also, or at least some of the things I do, is try to help ranchers set up their accounting system, set up their inventory system so they can have good data, okay? Because again, you can make these big decisions like that drop revenue, 200,000, drop expenses, 500,000. You have to have good data in order to make that call, okay? It's important to calculate them correctly because, again, if I ask somebody what weaning percentage they have and I'm at like 92% is what I get told, a weaning percentage per cow, how many of you can get a 92% calf crop? How come you're the only one raising your hand? You're better than everybody else. That's good. Again, my question and the point that I would make is, are we calculating it the same? It's pretty easy to have a 95% calf crop after I've sold my open cows, right? We're not calculating it the same, brother. Okay? You've got to calculate them the same, apples to apples. Okay? So again, making sure we calculate things correctly. Then also, need to balance the KPIs. What do we use, some of us, a lot of us, to select bulls? Now? EPDs, okay? Expected progeny difference. And if I'm a cow-calf guy out here, and I want to try to really focus on my maternal herd, what's some of the EPDs that I want to look at? Sustainability, maybe milk, maybe, okay, right? Things like that. Would it be a good idea for me to focus on birth weight EPDs that are better than average or worse than average? The point here is you have to balance EPDs, don't you? It'd all be great. Somebody showed me some EPDs on a bull, I think yesterday or the day before, and it's like every number was great. Maternal instinct was big. Milk ability was right at average. Birth weight was below average. Weaning weight was way up there. Yearling weight was way up there. And I said, yeah, well, that sounds like an awesome bull. Anytime I see something like that on an EPD and I go out there and look at the bull, that is the most pigeon-toed, swayed-back bull I've ever seen. All right? So again, what we're doing is balancing these EPDs to find what works in our herd, right? To fulfill our goals, okay? Same thing with KPIs. You can't just look at one, okay? I do some work with the King Ranch Institute with their students, trying to teach them all this stuff. And the example that I shot to them that they've been working on, they have a young ranch couple where their ROA is 1.7%, but their net income is negative. Well, that's because they got a huge interest cost, which gets added back. Okay, now that's more than you probably want to know right now. But the point is, if I sat there and focused on one number, the ROA for him, and he never made progress on his debt, it's not working. Okay, you're probably driving him right into the ground. Okay, so you have to balance these KPIs. To focus on one at the expense of another will not improve the overall performance of the ranch. So, again, from a KPI standpoint, we're going to start at a 30,000-foot level. Did the ranch, all-inclusive of all activities, weaning percentage, yearling weights, wildlife cells, gravel cells, all these things, on a big scale, did this operation make money, yes or no? Okay? That's the 30,000-foot view. Then I want to look at each of the pieces, key performance activities. What's the key activities that I want to look at, and can I measure those? Okay? How many of you develop your own replacement heifers? Think it's important to know what it costs you to develop your own replacement heifer? Darn right. Okay? Is that a number that you need to track every year? Darn right. Okay? That's a key performance activity. That's a key performance indicator target. Okay? That ranch I mentioned to you in Montana cost them $1,250-some to develop a replacement heifer from conception to the point where that heifer has dropped her first calf. Pretty efficient operation, wouldn't you say? What's it cost you to do that? Okay? Again, if you don't know, we need to start working that direction, okay? But would you agree that you better have the right accounting set up and you better have good inventories to figure that, okay? That's the key. I want to look at each one of the activities then that makes up the whole operation. So if you think about it, at a 30,000-foot view, I want to look at this, but I want to look at the pieces. And this is just how I set up an accounting system, and I'm going to be honest, I use QuickBooks. I know how to use QuickBooks. It's good. I know how to do it. I've done it for a long time, and I'm an old dog, and I don't want to learn new tricks. So, if you're using something different, fantastic. That's great. I'm not going to learn it. Don't have to, okay? So, I set up what's called profit centers, cost centers, support centers. Now, you're going to see one of the four sets of numbers that are vital to this thing right here, OK? Okay, and actually all four of them are very vital to this. Okay, here's a real life example of a ranch that I work with. They retain their calves each year. So they've got a cow calf, but they sell some. They also have retention of the calves into a 27. The calves are weaned in 16. They're sold in 17 as yearling calves. They also have grain, a little grain production. They've got a wildlife enterprise. They've got cost centers, 15 replacement heifers, 2016, 2017 replacement heifers. They grow hay, and their four support centers are always G&A, labor and management, machinery and equipment. Fourth one's always interest. Okay? Now, we're going to talk about that in more detail here in just a minute. But here we go. Now, if you looked at that handout, one caveat that I would give to you, and I gave, now you're seeing slides. Can I look at you for just a minute, ma'am? So you're seeing slides. Was there, aha. For those of you that got the handouts or want to download it off that website, there's a two-page table that looks like this. Okay? Everybody see that? Everybody see? It says KPI summaries. Okay? And what that summary does, sorry, babe, put it back where you want. That is actual average of ranches that I work with. That is their KPI averages. Okay? So when I sit here and tell you I've set a target of 83% weaning percentage, that's not pulled out of the air. That's what I think is achievable. Okay? When I tell you the break-even is $1.70 per pound of weaned calf, that's what other people are doing. Can you do that? Okay? So I'm not just pulling these numbers out of the air. But the caveat that I've got is caution the dark side of benchmarking. Again, I go back when I say that. I go back to make sure you're calculating the numbers correctly. Okay? If you're going to compare apples to apples, not apples to oranges. Okay? The number one on that handout, and I'm not going to spend time whether you got the handout or not, is the number of females. And very simply, why would a number of females be a KPI? And it's not necessarily by definition a KPI. But I can tell you, I've seen ranch managers get hammered by their board of directors because all of a sudden, instead of $2.5 million in revenue, they got 2.2. And all of a sudden, it's like, well, let's look at the breeding females. Did you know we didn't? We got into a drought situation, and we dropped our females from 1,000 to 850. Is revenue going to fall in that instance? Darn right. But again, does a board of directors that sometimes live in New York City or wherever understand drought in Texas? Sometimes they don't, okay? But again, what they do see is that my revenue drops significantly and my dividend drops significantly, okay? Sometimes it's a simple deal. Other times it's not so simple. Liquidity, blah, blah, I'm not even going to talk about liquidity. I'm going to move on. All right, number one of the four that we're going to talk about. Trying to keep track because I've told Todd I'll run out of time here if I'm not careful. Number four, rate of return on assets. Very simple calculation. What is my net income for the operation? Again, I don't care where the dollar came from, whether it came from wildlife, whether it came from whatever, okay? Looking at a 30,000 foot view, what is my rate of return on assets? Revenue divided by assets. Very simple. I set the target for 2018 greater than 2%. So for every dollar, you're getting 2 cents. Every dollar an asset. Is that good? Bad? This is the driving force behind the long-term decline in breeding cow numbers. And I've got this at cost basis. Okay, so we've talked about a cost basis of assets, but we're also talking about a market basis of assets. And I always get the question, well, Stan, you got it at cost basis. Why not put it at market basis? You won't like it. Those of us that, which I didn't, but those of you that inherited land, that got a bump up in basis through inheritance or whatever, okay, you may have a basis in your land of, you know, in some cases it's still, you know, $200 an acre. When the next generation gets it, it'll probably bump up to $2,000 an acre. But will that boy ever have the opportunity to buy that as a market price and pay for cows? The answer is no, he won't. Okay, I'm sorry, it's just not going to happen. Okay, because if you think about it, on a cost basis, the average right now investment per female is about $4,000. If you put that on a market basis, it's about anywhere from $15,000 to $20,000. But think about it. If those of you that bought land recently, and then multiply that times the number of cows you can run or stocking rate, and that's kind of where the investment goes. Okay, so all of a sudden, you take net income and divide it by my assets, and now all of a sudden, I get a rate of return that's less than two. That's depressing as hell, isn't it? That's the reality we live in. Okay, how many of you ever heard the term asset rich, cash poor? Welcome to the world of cattle, right? Okay, all right. But it's reality. Now think about that. Two questions. Number one, who is the most accountable to that number? Again, all three of them are important, okay? But at the end of the day, who is going to look at that number, fret about that number, gnash their teeth about that number? Who's going to be that person? It's going to be the landowner. Why in the world do I own this when I could take this and sell it for $15 million? Wall Street's been pretty good last 8 months. Now, last 6 months or 6 weeks have kind of sucked pretty bad. Okay? But why in the world would I want to own assets that's only going to return me 2% when I can probably put that in a real estate Wall Street or a Wall Street type situation and minimally get six? And I hear this argument all the time. Well, Stan, we don't do this for money. We do this for a lifestyle. Long-term economics will always trump lifestyle. Let me say that again. Economics will always trump lifestyle in the end, okay? So you've got to know what the number is so you can start tracking it over time. That's probably most accountable to the landowner. Now, with this target, if I put 2% out here, if that target, is it going to change over time? Should I readjust that target every year? The answer is yeah. Is your net income going to change year for year? Yeah. If nothing else, just because of calf prices. Okay, so probably every year you're going to want to reevaluate. Okay, 2%. Now, what did Brock and all the other market analysts say about prices the next couple of years? It looks like we're going to be a little lower this year, maybe a little lower next year. That 2 for 2018 may need to be 1 for 2019. But why is that important? You can start planning now. If your revenue, if you looked in a crystal ball and you knew your revenue was going to drop $100,000 from 18 to 19, what would you do about it? I don't know what the answer to that is, but at least you know, right? Now, then, how many of you agree with that statement, that your revenue will fall 5% next year from this year? Anybody agree with that? I got a couple of takers. The question is, how would you plan for it? Something's got to change, right? All right. Driving force behind the decline in breeding numbers. Okay, again, assets aren't going to get any cheaper, right? Net income, is net income going to rise? Well, what's net income? Well, that's a function of revenue minus expenses, right? Expenses going to go down? Revenue going to go up or down? Every stinking day, right? Like this, okay? Yeah, the question is, does it progressively go higher? And at this point, the answer is no. I mean, we had record prices in 14, 15, but what happened? the vulgarities of the market. Okay? So, rate of return on assets. So, here's, to make this all interesting, here's two ranches that I work with. Again, tracking these things over time. A blue ranch and a red ranch. I'll tell you, neither one of these ranches are in Texas, okay, and or Oklahoma, okay? So, again, to protect the innocent, these are actual ranches that I've worked with over time. Blue ranch, again, I've just got the target in here at 2, and as I said, that number probably needs to change. The target probably needs to change over time. Blue, anywhere from back in 2009, about 2.5%, 13%, 20% back down. Now, if I'm looking at this guy, and I'm in, and that's that operation about 3,500 mama cows with the board of directors, and I am the general manager of that ranch, and I just showed that I turned 20% return, what am I telling my board of directors? I need a raise. Remember, I said don't put all the eggs on one KPI. If I'm an astute board of directors member, what is my question? How did that happen? What'd you do? And he has to say, I didn't do nothing. The markets. Record prices sure help. Record prices cover up a lot of mistakes, don't they? I made the comment many times. Record prices can sure cover up a lot of bad management, okay? But again, that wasn't necessarily the case here. Now, as you would expect, well, that looks a lot like cattle prices, doesn't it? Are you at the mercy of the vulgarities of the market? Okay, well, in some cases, yeah. The answer is yes. The red ranch, that's a ranch of about 600 cows. Again, not in Oklahoma or Texas, I'll say that. Just been kind of banging along. This blue ranch, it is profit maximizing. The red ranch, when I went out there the first time to them, and I'll just tell you, it's owned by heirs to a Fortune 500 company. And my first question to them was, why am I here? Seriously, why am I here? And as we drank a beer in his souped-up Jeep, he said, Stan, I understand I don't need this money. But I also do not want this to turn into a money pit. Now, what did he just tell me? From an analytical standpoint and from me being an analyst, what did he just tell me? He told me what his goals was, didn't he? Remember, I've talked about what am I fulfilling? The goal of the owners. He wants to break even. That kind of what's been going on? He's been just kind of breaking even. That's what he wants, okay? Now, again, record prices certainly help out, okay? All of a sudden, things are good, and he feels really good, okay? Questions there? That's number one, okay? Now, number two, and for those of you that own the ranch, well, or involved, it doesn't matter. Support center ratios. This is huge. You won't see these numbers anywhere else. What I mean by that, if I go back and talk about the support cost of a ranch, okay, think about that. What's the support cost of the ranch? And in my terms, when I set up an accounting system for somebody, I am talking about their G&A, their general administrative, okay, those costs, the property taxes, the buildings and improvement depreciation, those type of things. I'm talking about their machinery and equipment, repairs, depreciation on machinery and equipment, gasoline, fuel, and oil, okay? That's machinery and equipment as a support center. I'm talking about any interest costs that they're having to pay, okay? And I am talking about labor and management, okay? Now, what from a microeconomic theory or an ag economic class 101, what did we just define? The fixed cost of a ranch. Now, again, if you think about way back when you took an Ag Econ class 101, and back when they were teaching the way they taught it, back when I was in school, when the earth was cooling, textbook definition was what was called the Dirty Five. That's the fixed cost of any operation, whether it be ag or otherwise. And what are they? D stood for depreciation. You didn't learn very well, and you were asleep that day. Depreciation. I is, you didn't know you were going to have a microeconomic class, right? Interest, like mortgage interest. You got to pay it whether you run cattle or not, okay? Mortgage interest. R, repairs. Things are going to get old and fall apart, whether you run cows or not. T, taxes, like property taxes, not income taxes. And the last I is insurance. You better keep it insured whether you run cows or not, like liability insurance. Those were your Dirty Five. Now, I just said nothing about labor, did I? So what I've done, instead of doing a Dirty Five, I've added one more, and now I have Dirty Six. Now, I did not say Dirty Sex, okay? That's supposed to be funny. That's always fun. I always get the joke. I didn't say Dirty Six or Dirty Five. I said the Dirty Six now. Add labor to that, okay? Labor also including salaries, wages, 1099s, board of directors travel, because believe it or not, board of director members are supposed to be involved in the management of an operation, if you've got one, okay? Their travel from New York City, okay? Because again, that's a management cost, okay? That all falls under labor and management as a support cost. So, question there. That to me is the fixed cost of an operation. Now, here's the deal. All of you heard again the little adage, I'm asset rich, cash poor. Ranching is a very capitalized industry. We have a lot of fixed assets, blah, 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 right? But what does that mean? That means, given those four things, for every dollar in revenue, this is important, guys, this is huge. For every dollar in revenue, 65 cents of that dollar has to go pay those four things. That's the average. According to the numbers, the long-term average, if you pull the handout, average on 43 herds, averaging 1,565 cows, the average of those three is 64.5%. So for every dollar in revenue, 65 cents has to go pay those four things. I would say, what is that for you? Okay? What is that for you? And we break it into the fours. G&A, 23%. Labor and management, 24%. Machinery and equipment, about 16%. And then if you've got any type of interest payment, about 2%. Those are the averages. Those are the targets. All that adds up to about 65 cents. Again, what does that mean even further? Well, if 65 cents of that dollar goes to pay those four things, that means I only have how much left? 35 cents, right? To pay variable cost, feed, animal health services, whatever else, fertilizer, whatever else. I've got 35 cents to pay the rest. And oh, by the way, how many of you would like to have some net income? Well, it'd be nice, wouldn't it? Well, that's got to come out of that 35. Dang, that's tight, ain't it? I challenge you to figure that out for yourselves, okay? And if you want more help on that, send me an email. But again, what I've done is take G&A, by definition, is anything, well, let me start at the other end. Interest, we know what interest costs are, okay? Put all that into one isolated area. Labor and management, we pretty much know what labor and management is. Isolate that, okay? Machinery and equipment, isolate that. Fuel, machinery depreciation, repairs, whatever else. Registrations on my machinery, okay? Things like that, isolate that. And then anything else that isn't a variable cost goes into G&A. I work with New Mexico State on the summer youth camp for kids, for juniors, I say kids, junior and seniors and first year in college. And my example to them on G&A, because they always, what's G&A? Toilet paper. Is that important? Kinda. Who pays that bill? I don't know. If I don't know, it goes to G&A. Okay? Yes, sir. I'm sorry? Okay. Are lease fixed? In my mind, no, they're not. Okay. I would not put a lease as a fixed cost. I would send it directly as a, again, whether the textbooks are right or wrong, I would send that lease directly to either the cows or the stockers or whoever's leasing it. Okay? Great question. Okay. All right. So again, I challenge you to come up with those numbers. Because again, when you start looking at your operation and you decide that you have an activity that is hemorrhaging and you've isolated it and you know it, and you start thinking about, let's just use, well, okay, I take, you know, half my calves and I put them on wheat pasture, okay, that I grow. And so I have not only the yearling wheat pasture cattle, but I probably also want to know what it costs me to produce that wheat pasture, right? And if that is such a huge cost, where is the benefit in keeping my calves to a 800 pounds? Now, if I decided that that hemorrhaging was such that I'm just going to cut it off and sear it, does that change labor and management? I'm going to tell you probably not. Because I don't fire anybody unless I've got somebody specifically caring for, which would be a variable. If it was outside labor, it was a variable cost, okay, to those cattle. If I had those things identified, I would not affect some of these things. I have to structurally change an operation, okay? And when I structurally change an operation, I better be structurally changing these four things, okay? Because again, if I'm just reducing cow numbers, i.e. in a drought, everybody with me here? If I just reduce cow numbers in a drought, does that affect these four things? The answer is no. It affects the variable cost, not the fixed. That's why that's significant, guys. Significant. The only way to decrease a fixed cost in the short term is what? Increase the number of units you apply against it. Increase your cow numbers. Okay? You heard that in microeconomic theory. Okay? The only way to decrease a fixed cost in the short run is to increase the number of units you apply. Increase your cows. If I can add 100 cows and not add labor or maybe a pickup, no big deal there, but if I didn't add any labor, and for the most part I'm not going to add any fences, anything like that, I might just add a lease. Is that the thing to do? Well, probably yes. It's at least certainly want to look at it. Okay, again, depending on how much the lease costs. Okay, but certainly what I'm doing there is increasing the number of units I'm applying against my fixed cost. Okay? And why this is important is because every other stinking phase of this cattle industry that we call home has not to deal with this. Does not have to deal with this. Okay? We're the fixed cost portion of the entire cattle industry. I'm sorry? Why wouldn't the lease? Why wouldn't the lease go under L&M? Has nothing to do with labor or management. It's a variable cost. Okay? Great question. Okay? So when you hear people talking about, well, you know, we've got to increase our margin, we've got to protect the margin, blah, blah, blah. Margin has nothing to do with this. You better be protecting and reducing your fixed cost. Okay? Does that make sense to everybody? I realize this is, again, this is different from probably what you've heard before. This is some of the few times I've shared the support center stuff. Okay? All right. Now, just to, again, back to our four ranches. Dadgummit. I'm like 15 minutes away. Whew. We ain't got enough time, brothers and sisters. Just to continue our little story with the two ranches, I looked at the labor for those two things, or those two different ranches. There they are. And again, I put the target at 25%. So again, it seems to be a pretty good fit at 25. But again, I would love for that to be 18 or 20. Because again, now strategically planning for your operation over the next 2 years, remember how those numbers are calculated. L&M, M&E, G&A, interest divided by what? Revenue. What's revenue going to do the next 2 years? Go down. Is your labor going to go down accordingly? How many of you have plans to fire somebody the next 18 months? That's an issue, isn't it? But your revenue is going to go down. What are you going to do about it? I don't know. I don't either. Okay, seriously. But you need to know that, okay? That your revenue is probably going down next 2 years. How are you going to adjust? Okay? You can adjust it some by increasing cow numbers, right? Because again, driving down fixed cost, which in turn also drives up your revenue back to where it was. Because we know it's coming down because of prices, you take it back up because of volume. Okay? Interesting stuff. Not going to spend a lot of time, but there's the two ranches. They seem to be kind of in the ballpark. Again, I thought this blue ranch was really, really starting to hit a tick. And all of a sudden, they start giving out incentive bonuses, and all hell broke loose. It's nice to give an incentive bonus, but what happens to the next year? It's not an incentive anymore, is it? It's an expectation. You've got to make that aware to your employees. If it's an incentive, that's exactly what it is. An incentive, not an expectation. Okay? If I'm lying, I'm dying. Okay, what are we on? Number three. Let me look here. Okay, now this one's going to take some time. Because up to this point, have I even talked about calf weights? Anything like that? I only talked finance side, didn't I? Okay? I talked productivity, but now let's talk cow, the productivity on the females. Well, I think you ought to take a look at pounds per exposed female, and I've got the target at 460. Now, that doesn't sound like much, does it? But let me start out by saying, who should be accountable to this number? Again, everybody, but that foreman, if there's an incentive package for a foreman, it's probably starting with at least part of this number, okay? Now, where do I get 460 pounds? Well, again, it's on the open females as well as it is the pregnant females that gave me a calf, but that number is a sum of two different things. Number one, and I'm going to show you, I'm fudging here because you guys aren't going to like me very much in about 5 minutes. Okay, if you don't already not like me. Have we maximized what a cow will give you? Have we maximized what a cow will give us? What's a cow give us? We're out here trying to doggy these things. What's a cow give us? Well, I'm going to answer. She gives you three things. Number one, let's talk about the end. She gives up her life, right? At the end of her life, she gives us a cull value, right? Number two, she gives us a calf, right? Well, we hope. In fact, what happens is she gives us about 0.83 calf, right? 100 cows, you get 100 calves, not very often. Something happens. You know, it's kind of like Forrest Gump said, stuff happens, right? Calf fell down a well. That ought to tell you I'm still pissed off because I told my son-in-law to take care of that. He covered it with 10. The calf still fell down. Pissed me off. I'm still mad. That's 5 years ago. How'd you like to have me as a father-in-law? She gives you a calf. Now, Again, that's probably not a full calf. That's 0.83. Now then, she gives you one calf. Has that changed in the last 100 years? She still gives you, 100 years ago, she gave you one calf, right? Important question here. Is that going to change in the next 100 years? She's just going to give you one calf, right? Okay. Anybody see a problem there? I did this little presentation for the beef researchers in Texas at A&M that I used to work for. Used to. No, I retired. I said, you guys aren't doing your job. And needless to say, they were a bit offended. I said, these things should be having litters by now. She can still just have one cow, one calf a year, right? Okay, so she gives you the number two is calf. Number three, then, she gives you the half of the genetic potential for that calf to gain, right? The other half coming from the bull. All manifested through what? Weaning weights, right? So she gives you half the genetic potential for weaning weights. Now, we've already established, let's not worry about the coal cell, okay? She gives you a calf, and she gives you weaning weights. $1,000 question. Have weaning weights increased in this country the last 10 years? The answer is no. Now, that is not to say that on any particular ranch, weaning weights should go up, okay? Because if I'm out here on a ranch and I'm seeing 400-pound weaning weights, that's, to me, is a red flag. And then if the guy tells me that the average age on those is 9 months, that really throws up a flag, okay? So in that case, he probably would benefit by doing something to try to increase weaning weights, okay? But nationally, nobody has ever provided me data the last 10 years that can show me weaning weights are going up. Why? What's the number top three influencers of weaning weights? Let me ask that again. What's the top three influencer of weaning weights? Number one. Come on, call them out. What? Genetics. What else? Environment. What else? Okay. Calf crop. Well, that doesn't really include the weights. Okay, here we go. What I always hear is genetics. Well, I can feed the heavier weights, right? Genetics, feed bags, those type things. That's number three. Okay, that's my management. That's number three. Number two, well, let's just jump to number one. Somebody said it. Environment or weather, right? Weather is the number one influencer of weaning weights. Then what's number two? Very simply, days of age. Calves born earlier in the season, going to weigh heavier, okay? Top three influencers of weaning weights. How do I know? Okay, so there is the 460. Now, on our two ranches, and I'll get back to that. There's the 460-pound target. Should that number change now over time? Should that target of 460 change? I'm going to tell you no. It's not going to change. Now, if I'm up here steadily somewhere above that, then yeah, I'm probably going to move up my target. But as an industry, that probably shouldn't change it. Yes, sir. 1 year's calf crop weights and weaning percentage. That's up to you guys. Okay, I mean that's a great question. Well, how long does that? His question was how long? What's the age on those calves? I don't know. That's up to you guys. Okay, some of them are 7, some of them probably 8, some of them 9. But yeah, you'd probably adjust that number some. If I'm weaning at 4 months of age, I will never achieve 460 pounds. Okay, if I'm weaning at 4 months, this is not going to happen. Unless you've got superior genetics, and I bet your cows are 1,800 pounds. Well, I didn't even get a flash. That's supposed to be funny. Well, you guys are, did I depress you guys that much? Okay, all right. I'm going to tell you that number probably isn't going to change for an industry. There's the two ranches. Sometimes it's just a matter of identifying that. Here's an issue, and telling your people this is an issue, pay attention, and we don't think it changes much, but if that cowboy is out there with that heifer that's having problems, and he saves instead of walks away, He saves that one more calf that gets you back to 460. Or in other terms, that calf that laid there is a $500 bill. Right? Yep. That is included in the oath. Because again, that's the loss. And to carry that one step farther, and I'll answer with a question, I'll answer his question with what I'm saying here. If you think about it, this is weaning weights times what? Weaning percentage. So if I take a 550-pound weaning weight times my weaning percentage, which is the loss, okay, I get 460 pounds. Okay? All right. I know I got to hurry. So again, I said number one is influencer is rainfall or weather. Here is normal percent rainfall on these ranches. Yes, I do track that. I want the rancher to know, and we all do. We all track the rainfall, don't we? Well, got a rain, got a quarter inch. What's it mean to you? Well, here you go. Notice the red bar, while it's not in Texas and Oklahoma, it dealt with the full fury of the drought in 2010, 2011, 2012. Okay? Blue Ranch did not. Now, here's the deal. There is percent normal rainfall back on pounds weaned per female. And there are the 43 observations. So what does this tell me? It tells me 30% of the variation in these pounds weaned per female is explained by percent deviation from rainfall. Rainfall is the number one influencer of weaning weights. Okay? 30% of the variation. So, when you're on your knees tonight praying to the good Lord and you're asking for a rain, be a little more specific. This is maxed out at about 150%, okay? So when you're asking the good Lord for rain, say, don't bring me rain. Lord, I need 150% of my normal rain. But if you live in the rolling plains of Texas, you then follow that up by saying, please don't bring it on one day. All right? Okay, very quickly now, last thing, and I'm going to shut up. Am I good, like 3 minutes? Huh? Okay, good, good. I'll take 10, but that's okay. The last number four, what's it cost me to produce a pound of weaned calf on this operation? And right now the target is 170. And for any ranch manager, general manager, not the owner, again, who's accountable? To me, this is the general manager, the manager, whoever he is. What's it cost him to produce 1 pound of weaned calf on that ranch? And right now I got the goal at 170. In my opinion, this is the most important number for ranch management, okay? For the manager, for the landowner, rate of return on assets. For the foreman, pounds weaned per exposed female, okay? Very simply, all I'm going to do is take productivity and I'm going to divide it into my total expenses, but I'm going to adjust my total expenses by things like coal income, things like that, to get this break even. You can see it's all over the board when a drought happens. That red ranch, again, I told you, was in the drought. Okay, you can see what happened to their break-even. Because, again, all of a sudden, your productivity is cut in half. And what do we say about the fixed cost? The support centers that make up what? How many dollars? How many cents? 65 cents. So when we're working for extension, when I used to, and we had drought meetings all over the state, and we'd say, you know, you need to cut your stocking rate back. You need to cut some cows. That's all fine and good, but we never finish that story. Because the second verse to that story is, oh, by the way, while you're cutting cow numbers, go ahead and fire somebody too. Or go ahead and sell that pickup, get rid of that trailer, get rid of the fixed cost too. But we're not going to do that, are we? No, we don't. So all of a sudden, what happens is your break-even skyrockets because 65% of every revenue dollar all of a sudden remains, and you just cut your revenue for only 35% of the variable cost. Ooh, Everybody understand that? All right, I'm going to stop right there. I've got all kinds of things. I will say this for just a minute. If you want to know what it costs you to run a cow a year, again, if you don't have the download handouts, download them. There is a chart, pie chart, that says on average right now, this long-term average data, $861 to keep a cow a year. There's the three biggest ones. There's the chart. Not only on the revenue side, but also on the expense side. Okay? We could go through and pick out which ones are fixed costs, which ones are variable costs, and we still come up with about the same numbers. Okay? I'm going to stop right there, and I apologize for not having any more time. Please pull out the handout if you want to. God bless each and every one of you. If you're kind of in the Panhandle, Rolling Plains area, if you're not in there, please pray for us that's in there, because we're praying hard. We need rain bad. I do not want to live through another 2011, but right now it's what it's looking like. Okay? Pray for rain. God bless each and every one of you. Thank y'all. Appreciate it. I'll be here for a while.
Thank you. At this time, we'll take a 30-minute break. Sessions will resume at 3:30. Thank you for attending this session. Appreciate it.